What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of the Friday Sessions. This one was really interesting. We talked at the start about the state of the markets. At the time of recording this on the 11th of March, 2025, the markets are in chaos. Bitcoin and the crypto markets are getting smashed, but really the whole markets are down. We talked about what we think is going on with Mark, who's a bit of a specialist in this area. Tried to make it really simple for people to understand. Hopefully bring a little bit of peace of mind and insight into what's going on and why. We then talked about business and talked about the value of having multiple things going on, right? Especially because of the markets that we're in at the moment. If you are invested in the stock market or invested in crypto, you can be really hurting. How we managed to deal with that because we're diversified across a few things. And we went into real practical examples of, for example, my toilets business, how it started, how much it costs, how much it actually makes a month, how much it's growing every year, how much time gets invested in it. And we talked about, you know, things that James and Mark and Eric are doing and what we've learned on that journey of building these successful side hustles. And then we talked about time preference. So time preference is learning the difference between, you know, when you're poor or middle class and trying to come up, how we have a high time preference for money. But in order to become a successful investor and business builder over time, you need to learn to have a low time preference. So we talk about what time preference is, and we think you'll find it really, really interesting. We also talked a little bit about Bitcoin right at the end and what I'm doing with a new division of unemployable content creation that starts next week, because I leave Australia Monday next week, which is the 17th of March. I'm gone, but I talk about my involvement in unemployable going forward and what we're doing around that space. So I think you'll find it really enjoyable. Like, comment, subscribe. Love to have your feedback. Bye for now.
Hey guys, with this week's podcast, we had Cyclone Alfred run through the Gold Coast, and there's a few technical glitches in this podcast, but we still want to put it out and want to let you guys know. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, so basically to close on this, I think 75,000 for Bitcoin looks good. We may get there, we may not. If we get a strong wick down to 69,000 and then it bounces from there, I think the bull market is still on, and it was a dip worth buying. If we break down below 69,000, which is the previous all-time high, then I'd start to get a little bit worried, and then I'd probably wait and let the bear market play out. So yeah, that 69 to 75, really important level.
Time historically, we missed a bull run effectively, or have we had a
yeah? So at the moment, we're still tracking better than the 16-17 cycle. But if we break down below 69, then all that four-year cycle stuff, all of that is all finished and done. Yeah.
Yeah, the models will be all broken.
It'll be all broken.
Well,
so
being a relatively new asset class, it wouldn't be unheard of to break that 4-year cycle.
100%. And that's why it's important not to, you know, even if you're a Bitcoin believer or a Bitcoin maxi or whatever it is, we can't get caught up in the religion of those things, like as the Bible, right? Like some of the stories in the Bible, most people say, okay, they're true, but read between the lines, sometimes they're just analogies for different things, and we just can't get caught up too much in the religion of it, and we have to follow price action to some extent just to guide us.
I think you got to really, as a investor of any type, it's really important, even in real estate or in shares or anything, to recognize what you are. So are you a trader? So somebody who trades daily? Are you a swing trader, which means somebody who looks for general trends? Like, okay, we're looking for when Bitcoin gets to 65, 70,000, that you might, if you're a swing trader, sort of have an opinion that, all right, this is sort of like really good value buying. I'm just going to buy some now and then try to, you know, sell it for more in the future. Or are you a long-term holder like a Warren Buffett who, you know, does deep research on an asset and then buys it and holds it for the long term? So you really got to decide which of those three types of investors are you. Same with real estate. Are you a speculator that tries to like go into Melbourne right while it's getting beaten up and then sell? Are you a developer? Are you an option guy that goes and gets real estate options? So very, very important to contextualize all of this discussion around what you're doing, because Mark's actually a trader, day trader.
Yes, but I would add the layer on top of that, you know, Warren Buffett is sitting in the most cash that he's ever been. He's got $300 billion sitting in cash. So all of those things.
He's a macro trader, as in when he sees that there's going to be a huge shift, he will move money, but generally he's not trading in and out of stocks.
I think the point is where the average person gets themselves into trouble is they'll have $50,000 to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll invest all of that $50,000 on the first dip or the second dip, and then it keeps dipping. And so I 100% agree with you, Adam. You've got to work out the type of trader that you are, but you've also got to work out a cash plan and not just going in. There's always got to be cash, right? Like, the reason Eric is such a great property investor is because he's always got piles of cash ready to invest in the next deal. So, you know, managing that side of things in your portfolio, making sure that you always have gunpowder, I think is important.
Yeah, and risk.
That's appetite. Why levels are important.
And risk appetite, right? Like, you got to make sure, you got to know your percentages of how much you're investing in what asset. You can't just sit there exactly like you said and go, I'm down to my last 50 grand. I'm going to dump it all on black, as an example. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you go and play the roulette wheel, you got the guys that play red and black. Then you have other guys that play all the numbers and run the risk, you know, and spread the risk, sorry. And it's the same thing in investing. It's not like, we all know right now, it's a great time, or I believe, right, is a good time to buy Bitcoin in my belief, right? Like, I'm buying more, you're selling other assets to buy more Bitcoin, as an example, right? You got Michael Saylor that just came out saying he's gonna, you know, wants to put in another $21 billion, right? Now, but I'm only putting a percentage of that. I'm not going and selling all my assets and going, I'm buying all Bitcoin. Neither is Adam. Adam's a big boy, Bitcoin believer, but he's not going and taking out all his first mortgage money and you know, taking all the cash that he's got and dumping it all on Bitcoin and hoping. And he's probably got the most belief in Bitcoin probably than all of us here, maybe next to Mark from a research point of view. So again, it's being realistic, right? And spreading the risk on different asset classes and not just backing one thing because someone's telling you. I guess there's a thing, like, I don't want to call it brainwashing, but like, if you listen to a property guy that just says property, 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 and Bali, 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 your belief is going to be so strong. You're going to go, I'm putting everything into property in Bali, and then something's going to happen.
Religion or cult-like.
Correct, right? So you got to be very careful. So educate yourself, but there's always two sides to a story.
Right? Two sides to a market, right?
And there's two sides to a market, and then there's something in the middle that we call truth at some point. And I think you need to be very, very realistic with that on where you're putting your time and your efforts, and never, ever putting everything on just one thing, because that is not a true investor.
And then when you hear the Bali example, Bali, 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 it's like, what's the game behind the game? Why are they screaming Bali from the rooftops? And you got to work out who's getting their pockets lined for screaming up Bali, 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 Bali.
Yeah. Do your research. And this is why we have these pods and why these Friday pods are turning into, we talk about business, but we're talking about wealth creation and investment and markets. And I'm loving this because
challenges,
even with you, Mark, like, I'm learning so much in these macro markets, right? That help business decisions and property decisions. And what I love about property, like I said before, is it's a reduced risk for me in a way because I'm manufacturing growth. Mm-hmm. So you're taking a little bit off the table straight away. So it's like, if the market does shit itself, okay, I've made a little bit because of the uplift on the DA, as an example. And whereas when you buy Bitcoin or you buy a Tesla stock, you know, you're buying it, but you can't manufacture the growth. You're buying it. It's your timing, right? And that's why I love property, but I still have a percentage in a crypto. And I will, moving forward, Mark, because you're educating me a fair bit on it, get back into the market in regards to stock.
And not only that, when you say you manufacture growth through a DA, development, reno, flip, or all that sort of stuff like that. Is that when you talk about cycles and predictability, real estate does have quite a long history of, you know, doubling every 7 to 10 years per se. So you got a little bit more faith in it than crypto, which has been around since 2008. So the cycles in there are a little bit more unpredictable because it hasn't got the track record as yet.
I think that's a good segue, guys, away from this stuff. Right now, I'm stoked, of course, to have other investments, you know, like, so I've got first mortgage lending, I've got e-commerce business, I've got my home, which has got, you know, just part of the property market. So that diversity. And is very helpful. And one of the things I did over the floods, over the storm, was I sat down and did a really deep dive. Like, I find there's a lot of mental calm and clarity in numbers. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, like building this pod, there's times over the last year and a bit where you're like, man, we're spending so much money on rent and on, you know, camera equipment. Just now we went out and bought all these hard drives and just money out. And in business, it's like that all the time. You constantly feel like it's out. So over the break, I got to Dry Flush and I really dove deep into the numbers, looked at our invoices from the US, double checking our buy prices, GST's been taken off assumptions, but really in the weeds. And I sat down and went, okay, so where are we really at, and how many units are we selling a month? Based on the number of toilets that we have out there in the marketplace, how many bags are being consumed relative to the toilets over the last 9 months, which should give us some sort of projection about one, because the name of our game is every year we add 300, 400 toilets to the network and those toilets then consume the bags. And so trying to really nail down what is actually fact. And, you know, I'm now sitting in a position where my net cash flow income from that business is growing. It's at about 350 a year net right now. And it grows at about 100 grand a year for each year that I hold it based on the cumulative nature of the business. And that sort of deep calm comes into things. I know, Mark, you've been doing the same with your business. There's so much to be said for just having these. All my life, I've had one or two projects while I'm doing crypto. And when I say doing crypto, just buying and holding Bitcoin. But while I'm doing the podcast and while I'm doing stuff in real estate, while I've got my first mortgage lending, I'm always working on a side hustle of some kind. And I look back over the last, I don't know how long I've had this. One is my hair products business, which I'm about to launch. It's been a year now. And we're still working on just getting the formula right for the product. But we're this close now. Like, we really think we've broken it. And then in a year from now, that might produce $100,000 of income. And then it'll be $150,000, $200,000. There's a lot to be said for just being able to multitask. And I think it's really important that everybody listening has that cash flow thing that they're working on.
There is a lot of peace in the numbers as well. And I think, you know, me stepping away from my e-commerce businesses a little bit more in 2025 has allowed me to not be so emotive with the day-to-day goings on. And you still get emotional about the state of your business. Don't get me wrong, right? Like, I jump on calls every now and then and I see things. So I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what's going on? But being able to step back pulls you out of that emotive state. And there is really comfort in those numbers. And the answer, I think 9.5 times out of 10 when it comes to making decisions for your business, lie in those cold, hard numbers.
It is. And like, when I look at the Dry Flush and I said to you, you know, like, it's a little toilet business that grows at $100,000 a year in net income. It's not just the net income. That revenue stream would get valued because it's a royalty patented exclusive product. I could probably sell that business for 4 or 5 times earnings, right? So let's say four, every 100 grand a year in income is a 400 grand of my net worth going up a year. And that's where the alpha of business comes in. It's just so powerful when you've got those things happening in the background.
And that's why it's very important to decide what business you're going to be going into at the forefront, right? Because what happens is, we tend to think about money first, right? But money is just a vehicle, right? What's the problem that you're actually going to be solving? And I was in that headspace for so many years, right? What is the business that I'm going to be going into that is going to make me the most amount of money without weekly, monthly, yearly cash? And then you got to start thinking about, okay, now I think a lot more strategically going, okay, what are businesses that I want to get involved with moving forward that actually pay me, like you said in the past, 3 times, right? One for your risk, one for your time, and one for the equity. And people forget the equity piece. We just cashed out of a business in our luxury holiday accommodation business after many, 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 many years. And that was my first real exit, to be honest with you, so far. And let me tell you, it was a fucking great feeling, right? When you actually see that cash hit your bank account, right? For all those years that you've had, you know, time and money invested in the rest of it. And to me, that's where the real money comes.
Yep.
Is
you look at real estate as an example, and a real estate agency, as good as a real estate agent is, that's making $1 million a year, $2 million a year. In my view, it's not a business.
He's not building it.
Right. The rent roll is the business. That's why they build the rent roll, right? So you could go and get it two or three times, you know, sale at the end. But let me tell you, you make $1 million a year, $2 million a year, and you take a year off and you come back, everybody's forgotten about you. Mm. There is no business, right? So there's no equity at the end. You can't sell, hey, I've just made $1 million, $2 million worth of sales and I'm Bob Jones, buy my business. That's not how it works. The sales side of a real estate business is worth zero.
Even inventory, right? Like if you've got millions and millions of dollars worth of inventory, if your inventory, if inflation kicks in and your inventory goes up by 10-15%, that's increased your equity.
Yeah, and that sits on the balance sheet, right? Yeah. And that's, to me, real business. And there's other businesses, some businesses that have crazy multiples. I went to a meeting at PwC a couple of weeks ago. It was like a luncheon. And there was some heavy, heavy hitters in the room. And I was sitting down beside a guy who was an old dude, honestly, looked like a farmer. I'm like, this guy's in agriculture or something. And he's like, and he looked at my name and the badge and said, the business. And he's like, so what do you do? And I said, oh, this is what we do. And I'm like, what do you do? He's like, actually, I make software for pacemakers. Wow. And we've just sold. And I was just like in my mind going, imagine the multiple this guy would have gotten, right? The risk that's involved in creating software for a pacemaker that's helping someone to stay alive. And then they pull up this chart, and the chart was talking about all the different multiples in the different categories. And then it got to the software category, and it was like upwards of 36 times that some software businesses are getting on EBITDA. And he's like, I didn't get anywhere near that, but I still got a pretty good multiple, right? So you got to think to yourself, no matter what, it's going to be a similar amount of work, right? Like you go and work your 10 hours a day or 12 hours a day, whether you're doing it on this business or that business or this business, strategically think about what business you are going to get the most out of moving forward in the future. I look at real estate, right? Our project marketing company. And I look at that now going, like that style of business is not an amazing business when it comes to long-term equity. Mm. Great cash flow business, right? Peaks and troughs, right? There's definitely peaks and troughs, cyclical, right? There's money there, right? There's cash there. But when you look at it and you build that thing over 5 years, what's it worth? It's not worth anything.
I think, Adam, you've spoken about it on previous pods, and we kind of talk about it a little bit, is the other layer is what type of lifestyle, what type of wealth are you building? There's a great book at the moment called The Five Types of Wealth by Sahil Bloom. And he basically says there's five types of wealth: social wealth, time wealth, freedom, health, and financial. I think I've got that right. Maybe I got one of them wrong. But he says that money is just an ends to give you one of those five types of wealth. So the deeper layer, and I think we've been doing this, you've been doing this, and you're doing this at the moment as well, is we're starting to understand, well, what type of wealth am I really trying to build once you cover the checks?
Such an important discussion, Mark. What type of wealth are you trying to build? For me, I realized freedom wealth is my highest value, probably even sadly more than health. But like, I'd rather be free and sick than in prison and healthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and also, how do you want to go about it? Like last year, you had a business we're dealing with, and like headcount, and a sales cycle too. It's like, what's involved in this sales cycle, and how many people do I need involved in it to achieve the sale? And I was thinking, I don't like this sales cycle or having that type of headcount. So sitting down and actually getting really clear on what type of business you actually want to have.
Those questions, James, those really, really basic questions. I say to people.
They sound basic until you find yourself. Right. And as Alex Mosey says as well, sometimes you don't, or you more often than not, you won't realize the business you're in until you're in it.
Sometimes it takes you 12 months to ask that basic.
Well, they, exactly. So
here's the question I ask people. What has to happen in order for the money to go from the customer's pocket to yours?
Correct.
Like, let's step through that. Like in Eric's business of MX Store, they run ads and they have social media and email direct mails, and people engage with them digitally, and then they go to the website and buy a thing. that's very different to what you were selling. That in, I remember you were rigging up cameras and you were doing like
all sorts of
stuff. You were selling aged care stuff. And like, so somebody's sitting at home doing a live Zoom presentation with a salesperson who's showing the product live on a Zoom call.
With an occupational therapist there as well, and having to line up four or five people to get the one sale to come across the line. Then there'll be funding packages involved to get the NDIS. So it was like from click to cash to me right now is super important. It's not just what how long what does it take to get the money from the customer's pocket into mine. It's how many people are involved in to get it, that, that money from there to mine, and then how many, and then the time frame for get that from their pocket to mine as well. And
time frame super important.
Click to cash is what it's all about. It's restock revolution.
One thing we haven't mentioned is stage of life, right? Like in each different stage of your life, you might be trying to obtain a different wealth as well.
Well, you know, good example. Yeah, different type of wealth at different stage of your life is very true. That good example is Goldie Caravans and the toilets. Like the toilets is a product in a box that sits in a warehouse I don't own. I don't employ any staff. It's in a 3PL. We have no staff. I got to that business through Goldie, which is a business I started. Well, not I didn't start, I funded. But those guys, did, when they do a sale, they have to build a caravan. The caravan takes weeks and weeks and weeks, probably has 300 or 400 parts in it. And then they have to warranty it for like 5 years as they drive around the outback of Australia, blah, 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 you know, versus, and I think I would say that the toilets business may be actually doing more revenue than the caravan business. I don't know, but it'd be close.
But I want to ask you a question, right? And I think you've mentioned on the pod before. So I just wanted to give people like a strong realization. How long did you? How long ago did you start Dry Flush?
3 years. 2.5. Yeah.
So 2.5 years ago, basically during COVID. What is it netting now? Roughly
300.
300 grand. So you have a business from 2.5 years ago that's netting 300 grand. And if you just wanted to, I know you guys are pushing and Kevy's on board and the rest of it. But if you just wanted to consistently go and grow at 10% a year, right? So 330 next year. And then 390 the next year on compound growth. Now, how many hours would you be putting into that business now, right, at 300 grand a year if you just wanted to cruise, not have to go to caravan shows and you know, have meetings with, you know, the big mining companies and stuff, but roughly?
It's that time of year again at Unemployable where we're opening up our Unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period. And with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You can get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
We are actually pretty much cruising now. And yeah. I don't do any work on it every week. And Kevy probably does 20 hours.
This is what I mean, right? There'll be people out there right now, right, that would give their left leg for a business that's earning them $300,000 a year.
Growing at 100.
Working, right, 20 hours a week. Now, I look at that and I go, that's a sweet little business. And it's something that the way you've strategically positioned yourself and brought someone on board to run that, and you guys split the profits and however that works, that's amazing, right? But for some people, it's life-changing. For some people, that's all they want, right? All they want is 300 grand a year. And it'll change their life. And this is why you have to, like we said before, like, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? And this goes to, which I'll chat about, the one-page plan that we've implemented for many, many years in our businesses on the online space. But one of the biggest things is, like, why? We can go into any online market we want. We've got a machine, right? We have a machine there. We can sell skincare if we want, we can sell hats, we can sell building materials, but why do you get in certain industries? And we have big reasons why. And I guess for you, for the people listening personally, what is your why, right? Is it an extra 100 grand? Is it, I sat with someone recently, it's like, I want to be a billionaire, right? Like, I don't need to be a billionaire. I don't know if you guys want to be a billionaire here, but what happens is to become a billionaire, imagine the amount of fucking work and effort and eggs that you need to smash and relationships that you need to burn to become that billionaire. Most billionaires aren't the most well-liked people in the world, right? To get there, you got to stomp on a lot of people and a lot of things to get to that position, is my belief in business. It just doesn't come by accident. So it's really sitting down and understanding, like you said, is it time? Is it freedom? Is it money? Because the reality is I'm working on that myself still. Like, I can now sell everything, put it in first mortgage funds, and not have to look at an email or take a phone call ever again. But I'm not at that point. I'm still in my growth phase. I'm still looking at opportunities. I'm still looking at manufacturing deals in property. I'm still looking at investing more money into different businesses and backing different people. But I'm being very, very strategic now on what businesses and what people that is, because I'm in the same headspace as James. You don't know what you've built until you're in the weeds. Like you've got a lot of business experience over many, many years. You still went into a business, spent a year, year and a half in it, and realized this is actually a business I don't fucking want. And you're a smart guy with a lot of experience. So imagine someone green coming in going, yes, I'm going to do this, and then realize I've built something I actually don't fucking want. I'm not spending enough time with my kids. My wife doesn't talk to me anymore. I'm working 15 hours a day, and I hate it. And all of a sudden, you're thinking to yourself, but I've got 10 people that I need to feed their families at the moment, right? Because the responsibility comes back on you. I mean, at MX, we range 150, 170, you know, casuals, bits and pieces. Like, when you think about 170 people, times average, say, 3 to 4 people in a family, like, you are putting food on the table for close to 800 people every day. And it's your responsibility now. And that's what people don't understand.
It's interesting I think you're going through this process. I'm definitely going through this process. Rather than just going out there and just doing that next deal, we're actually starting to ask the question, why more? And, why am I going to do this deal versus first tier mortgage or investing in Bitcoin or whatever it else might be? And that, I think that's why it's important to understand the macro foundation a little bit, because you need to see, well, like we said this last week, today the opportunity cost to doing the wrong thing is greater than it's ever been because there's so much big opportunity out there. So really asking that question, why, I think is so important.
And as I said, based on that experience, and it's getting super clear on how you want to build the business. And again, that headcount for me is one thing. I don't want any offices ever. At the moment, anyway, so no leases, no fixed staff. That cost me, and I think it's about 180 grand to get rid of 8 people last year. Like 180 G's just to sack them. I'm like, I don't ever want to do that again.
And it's not a nice feeling, right? You literally have to have hard conversations with these people, and there's tears involved, and you're breaking their heart. You know,
yeah,
that's the reality.
And then you're the asshole.
Of course, James is skilled in those conversations.
Yes, to shut the fuck up. But getting clear on the business model you want and how, and really engineering and going through that sales process, going from lead, how do I get the lead and how do I convert it? And what's that time period in between? And how do I do it with the least amount of responsibility possible?
And it's being very, very clear about that. What are you building, and being open about ways to get there? Like, when Raf was on this pod talking about TikTok Shop and the performance marketers and how they basically go and get a product and they get 20% of the sales, it dawned on me, maybe I should actually just look at performance marketing, because you can make 20% from just no risk.
Yeah.
And so as you get more and more, when you start hanging out, and I'm spending more time now with quite sophisticated investors, like I got Preston Pish lined up to come on, who's a Bitcoin guru and a venture capitalist. Very smart guy. Exactly. These guys have the way they look at allocating, they use the term allocating, right? Allocating time, allocating capital. They all have one thing in common, which is a very clear hurdle rate. What is it? Mm-hmm. If I just leave my money, because the thing about wealthy people is they have a lower time preference. And what that means is they are not in a hurry. Like, the problem with being poor, most of us, when we're coming up a poor or middle-class Australians, we have an immediate, our high time preference, because we have families, we have our wage comes in, we live month to month. Most people live month to month. So they have a high time preference for their money. They get their money, they spend their money, their bills are now. They need to pay their kids now. They need to pay the rent now. They need to pay the phone bill now. Wealthy investors are like, no. Once you move money outside of your living costs and you start allocating capital, you've got to now switch your brain into lowering your time preference and saying, stop for a second. The minute you start making decisions, investment decisions on how much you can make right now today, you start making the wrong decisions for your family from an investment point of view. So it's lowering that time preference. And when you talk to wealthy people, they're like, because they're Bitcoiners, they're like, okay, the hurdle rate of Bitcoin is 50% a year over 5 years. But the average person's like, well, what do you mean? It's down 10% today. The wealthy person's like, oh, whatever. That's just net today. Over 5 or 10 years, it's all fine. That's the different mindset.
You know what's funny is like, I still have that bit of that old school WOG mentality, you know, like, and my friends always tell me, you know, anyways, we're building at the moment, right? And like, I get a kick out of, like, I call it efficient, right? And my builder, right, it was a good mate of mine, Italian guy. I'm like, are we being efficient? Is that the best? Instead of saying, is that the cheapest price? I'm like, is that the most efficient way of doing it? Is that the most efficient price we can get? He's like, fuck you and you're efficient. So we have this joke going, but I get a kick of going, man, I'm not going to pay $400 a square meter for these mosaic tiles and I need, you know, X amount and it's $8,000. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm getting ripped. Anyways, talk to someone, gives me a contact, tile contact, China. Yuki, her name is. There we go on WhatsApp. Hey, Yuki, here's the sample. Here's the photo, DHL the sample, boom, 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 boom. And I'm getting it landed for like $3,500, the exact same thing. But I'm like, $4,500 in the pocket. Yes. But then I think, the amount of fucking time it's taking me is back and forth.
Is it old school?
But messing around, samples back and forth, you know, in the WhatsApp chat, double checking, triple checking, shipping, contacting the freight forwarder, comparing the price between air freight and sea freight, you know. And then I think to myself, I'm like, that's not a fucking good use of time.
No,
you know, I've saved $4,500, but the amount of time that I could have put into research or having the conversation with someone else, right? And then I do the same thing with the timber. And I'm like, fuck, I just saved $15,000 on the timber. Same shit. There's Eric. Fuck, and when's the samples coming? This and that. And I'm just going like, fuck. But again, time allocation, right? Is thinking like, what am I worth?
Yeah.
I don't know, right? But what I'm saying is you got to think, what is your time worth? Right.
So that
at some point there,
no way you're going to Italy dropping $8,000 on a fucking fish either.
Eric will drive from Gold Coast to Brisbane to save 2 cents on petrol.
I'm not that bad.
And spend fucking $200.
But for me, I love the rush of the deal. That for me, I've realized it's like, so I'm not getting fucked by this guy that's going to go on make.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's really important though, because that is the way that you want, if you've got people within your business, that's the way that you want them to run your business, right? And so few people apply that rationale and that strategy to running their business. Yeah, there's an argument to be made. Don't worry about it, just pay for the fucking Dolce & Gabbana tiles, right? Yeah. But that's the way you want to be running your business, especially when you're coming up.
I think the key is.
And your life.
Yeah.
Kerry Packer said it. He said, run your business super, super tight and your personal life however you want. And I think that's actually really good advice.
You know, as someone who's young and coming up, they should probably be running their life that way as well to get a head start.
Even with unemployable as an example, like there's a lot of subscriptions sitting in the background. You've seen it in other businesses.
I'm about to do
subscription. And Perry, right, who a lot of you guys haven't met, but Perry's an absolute weapon and he sits in the background of unemployable, but he's the one that makes this machine really tick every day. And he's now trained, you know, like from probably me talking to him and vice versa, where he's like, hey man. And I'm like, I just screenshotted this, you know, the other day. It was like $450 for some, you know, media, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, is this legit? Like, is this something that you, he goes, yeah, that's a yearly subscription of X. He's like, but you know what? I think I can cut that down in half. I'm like, cool. We had this other app. It's costing almost $500 a month, you know, for storage and bits and pieces. And he's like, actually, you know what? It's going to take me a little bit of time, but I'm going to switch it over. Next thing you know, it's costing us $150 a month just these little one percenters every day that you can sit there and be a little bit more efficient and going, why is our Google $250 a month? Why is this? Oh, I downloaded that. It's $20 a month, and I haven't used it once. And it's that cleansing. But what it is, it's in my mind, it's efficiency. I've been raised in a household, right, where it's like, why is that light on?
Yeah. But
why is the AC? You have the window open and the AC is pumping.
Same, yeah.
You're not respecting, right? You're not respecting the value of the dollar. That's why I've been raised. So it's ingrained in me, right? And I still do it within reason, right? But for me, it's the hustle of, like, I grew up with my parents, God bless them, looking at the coupon clipper and going, all right, the meat's on sale here. This is on sale here. So we'll go there first. We'll go here and then we'll go there and come back. Because I'm not going to buy the meat for 25% more here just because I don't have to drive there.
But if
that's the mentality, right? But sometimes it can work against you
too. But if anyone's like really listened and tuned into this pod and heard you speaking, like, the reason that you've been able to compound wealth so greatly is because of those savings, right? Like the real kicker is not the saving. It's being able to compound that money that's getting saved into an asset that appreciates.
You know how many times that we're sitting there and it's a Saturday or a Sunday and it's like, it's a bit lazy, don't want to cook. Jen's like, I've been cooking all week. All right, let's get Uber Eats. And I'll go, okay, let's get Uber Eats. And it's what we like sometimes, like Betty's Burgers or, you know, like Dirty Burger or whatever. And I'll be like, there's one down the road at Pacific Fair, right? I said a dirty burger, not a dirty taco. Okay?
Can you
choose your words carefully, right? So, and I go on Uber Eats, and then you get the Uber Eats tax, right? And I'm like, I look at it, I'm like, how much? Right? And I'm like, but that burger down the road is fucking, it's like more $6.
It's more expensive.
Right.
What do you guys want? I'm gonna drive to I drive to Betty's, man, to save the $20.
it's the old thing though, like once a month to export your bank statement sort by, and you can see where the fuck your money goes. And then so I'm doing this now with the girl, and I'm just like, you know what? If you really wanted to start from scratch again, because your bank's fucked anyway, because you can't export from it, I said just go up a normal Westpac account, start doing that. Here's the budget. Why not just cancel your card, and then you'll soon see where your overspends come, because you get all these emails ringing through. Yeah. And the ultimate cleanse is cut the card up and watch the email start pouring in and say, then what do I really need?
And people will sit there and go, oh, you cheapskate. Oh, come on. You've got the money. Why don't you? But I'm like, where money's most organized, more money will come.
Yeah.
If you don't respect it, right, it's not going to respect you, mate. So make sure you respect it and know where it's going.
Money doesn't like
chaos. Because let me tell you, if you keep spending $20 extra, $50 extra, $100 extra, and you put those every time into a Bitcoin or into a stock of some kind, and you wait for 10 years, you're going to be very surprised what that looks like.
I'm scared to actually go through and reconcile my credit card statements because there's just so much bullshit coming out of them. And I have to sit down and do it because I reckon I can save thousands.
You want to know why it's scared? You want to know why it's confronting? Because you have to have hard conversations with people around you.
That's
the reality. You're going to sit down and go, right, yourself. And usually your partner, right? And going, like, do you understand how much you're actually spending on this? Like, those are hard conversations to have.
Yeah.
And some people are just like, I don't want to have those conversations. I'll just keep pretending like it's not there, but I'll be the first one to whinge that we don't have enough money.
Mm.
It adds up so quickly, especially now with all that, you know, the podcasts out there on health and fitness and what you're spending on supplementation.
Oh, yeah.
Skincare routines and gym memberships and float sessions and whatever else you can.
3,000 streaming services.
Yeah, that's right.
Shampoo bottles and that lady.
Shampoo bottle removal.
Oh, God. All right, guys. So we're just coming to the end here. I just, there's a couple of other things I was going to sort of include in here, but I think we're sort of out of time this week.
Yaffed on, haven't we?
I'm off on Monday. So Monday night, this is the last one in Australia that you guys will see. So I take off to Amsterdam Monday midnight from Amsterdam to Amsterdam. So Dubai, Amsterdam, a few days in Amsterdam, then to Cyprus.
Can we do a podcast while you're stoned or?
or window shopping?
Oh, God. And then I'll be, so Amsterdam, Cyprus for a week and then up to Italy for the food and wine tour and then over to Paris for blockchain week.
I don't know if you are, and you probably can't be fucked anymore. But it would be very interesting if you could document some of this.
I will. I did on my last trip.
Yeah, I remember.
Letters to my friends.
Yeah, that was great.
But even if
same thing.
But it, do letters. But even if you can, like, not full clips, but like, just here I am. It's March 19th, 2025. I'm roaming the streets of Amsterdam.
Travel.
Check this out. Like, when people are talking about window shopping, this is what they mean. Check this out.
You just, look, you buy weed, you just want him to take footage of the red light district.
I just want to help him with his decision, okay? No, but honestly, like, here I am in Dubai. Like, you guys think Australia is crazy. Like, some people will never see Dubai. And when you're actually there and going, this is what's happening, I think
it'll be quite interesting. I remember when you went to the States all those years ago, you sent back a little update newsletter to your mates, and it was like a photo and just what you're up.
I loved catching yours when I was traveling and you were traveling and I read
yours. I enjoyed it. I did these long form, not long form, maybe two pages every week or so. But I actually really enjoyed the process of sitting down and actually writing, like, properly and really putting thought into the words and then really picking the best photos from the trip. So, but this one, as I said, this trip is going to be permanent, or at least for the next few years. So I will definitely endeavor to keep everybody updated from the road. And we'll be doing, guys, for all of you watching on YouTube, from next week, these Friday sessions will be done on a platform that we're using where we'll be wherever we are in the world. And every Tuesday, the sessions will be still done and coming from the studio here, but without me and the Tuesday sessions. But I'll be on the Friday sessions with the boys, at least for the immediate future. And I'm also going to be doing a new section of Unemployable, which is Bitcoin only. So by far, what's most intellectually interesting to me in life at the moment, professionally, is Bitcoin, more than business for me. So I'm going to be sort of going down that rabbit hole and doing maybe a couple of times a month. You'll see a Bitcoin video drop into the Unemployable channel. It'll probably come out on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I reckon it'll come out on a total separate thing, because what's happening with Unemployable is it's not just business anymore. Like, we started this podcast just thinking, okay, let's talk about business and talk about property and talk about this, but what we've been realizing is people love all of the content, right? But usually business people want to hear more about business, and property people want to hear more about property, and Bitcoin people want to hear about more about Bitcoin. So that way, like, I think in future, we will have a few different pods dropping, you know, every week or might be bi-monthly to begin with Adam and the Bitcoin stuff. And when you know, we'll have them tagged or a different color of some kind. So you can go on there and go, okay, red means Bitcoin. Oh, that's the newest Bitcoin one. I just want to know about Bitcoin because I'm not in business. As an example, I'm not in business anymore. I got stacks of cash and I'm just an investor. So I don't want to hear about TikTok shop, and I don't want to hear about logistics and 3PLs or property. I want to hear about macro, you know, macro Mark talking about this and this, and Adam talking about Bitcoin. So that way we'll have it more targeted, because
I'd say the brand just catered to more niches.
And because you're so well versed in Bitcoin, like, you've done that many, that much study towards it, your intellect towards Bitcoin is at such a high level that you could sit down with the top Bitcoin guys in the world, like you're going to be, and have a proper 2-hour, you know, deep dive into the topic. Whereas I can do that in property any day of the week, but I'm not as confident in the Bitcoin topic as someone like you. So you can extract so much more gold out of it.
Yeah, the first one is already in the can. It hasn't been released yet, but I sat down with a guy from Sydney last week who sold his company for $1.5 billion.
Wow.
And a massive Bitcoiner. A very interesting story and a really sharp guy. And that transaction was when he was 36 years old.
Did I say I don't want to be a billionaire?
So, yeah, we spent an hour and a half last week together, and that'll be coming out shortly. I was Lawrence Lepard. I'm interviewing him on Thursday this week. I'm not sure when it'll come out, but this guy's a Harvard grad, amazing story, proper
true macro master.
Like, you know, former you know, Goldman Sachs level type dude, like proper banker guy. Preston Pish is lined up and booked. We have some of the biggest Bitcoin names in the world now, and I'll be going to Bitcoin Live. Bitcoin event in Las Vegas.
And just even if you're out there and you're like, I don't own Bitcoin, I'm not interested in Bitcoin, catch these pods, because the level of knowledge that these guys have on money and macro and allocation of assets, they haven't just learned about crypto or Bitcoin and then decided to invest. They've been in this financial game for all of their lives, and now they're telling you or us that this is the best choice of spending time, money, investment. So yeah, really, really, they'll really give a great background to what macro is.
Totally. I mean, Lawrence has been in the
market
for 50 years and his you know, he makes a case for $10 million Bitcoin. So it's going to be an interesting discussion with the guys.
Catch those calls.
So catch them. So they'll be fun. But as Eric said, we're going to be covering entrepreneurship. We're going to be covering, you know, Bitcoin, property, and then we're going to organize the content so that it's easy for you to identify what you're watching and you can just tune into what you enjoy.
And it's a perfect example of what we talked about before of when you're getting into a business, you really don't know exactly what you're getting into. And it's the same thing with unemployable. Like, it's transforming every week, every month. It's transforming into something a little bit different based on what the people want to hear.
Yeah.
Guys, that's it for this week. We hope you've enjoyed this Friday session. Big shout out to our friend, Matt St. Onge, who is behind the deck today from Melbourne, volunteered to help us out. He's a client, but a really good dude. Make sure to check out his YouTube channel as well. It's AIDIY.tech. Really interesting. He specializes in providing information to people who are interested in making music with artificial intelligence, and really cool guys, to check his channel out as well. With that said, guys, thanks for watching. Like, subscribe, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.